At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production. Yeah, I'm back. Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 223, which I'm calling Back in the Big Apple. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It feels good coming back to a familiar place, a place with furniture. No more sleeping on futon mats for this kid. It's also nice having my most current podcast set up in front of me. Hopefully, I'll be able to avoid the disaster that was the last episode. Well, what do you say we get the ball rolling?
Yes.
Before I start, let me apologize for the last episode. I had a horrible space to record in and was unfamiliar with some of the equipment and digital tools I was using. I'll do better next time I have the occasion of recording down in the new place. I promise. Relocation updates. We actually met our timeline for departing Tennessee this time around, which was 3 in the morning. This departure time was calculated to avoid rush hour traffic in New York. We lost a bit of time out of the gate because of the back roads the navigation software put us on in order to get to the main route, though the time loss wasn't much. From there, it was smooth sailing through Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland. Well, that smooth sailing put us ahead of schedule as we gained time for once. That changed partially through Pennsylvania as Apple Maps informed us that there was a road closure ahead and rerouted us to a heavily tolled road, which is the Pennsylvania Turnpike. However, we still managed to gain time, which put our estimated time of arrival at 1:45 p.m. In Pennsylvania, we made our second and last petrol station stop and headed to New Jersey, where our ETA started adding time and grew later and later. I figured Staten Island would be the culprit because there's always road work going on and that road is more times than not congested. Well, I was wrong. We cruised through Staten Island, yet our ETA kept getting later. After crossing the Verrazano Bridge onto the Belt Parkway in Brooklyn at about 1:15 in the afternoon, traffic was light, yet our ETA continued getting later, signaling trouble ahead. We hit that trouble as soon as we crossed into the Borough of Queens. From there, it was bumper-to-bumper traffic until two exits before our own. We arrived at our house at exactly 3:17 p.m., meaning it took over 2 hours to travel 30-odd miles. Well, the infamous and dastardly New York traffic had once again struck. Tech news. The news from last week that I didn't cover. Chrome OS will lean on the same tech that powers Android is the headline of an article on Engadget.com. It seems the Big G is basically combining Android and Chrome into one, as it adds the Android stack and the Android framework to the foundation of the world's most popular thin client operating system. The reasons Google is giving for this change are engineering efficiencies. Well, I just read that as combining the Android and Chrome teams to save some money. And to help phones and accessories become more compatible with Chromebooks. The article suggests that another reason is probably to enable more AI features for Chrome. What I'm wondering about is the security of Chrome OS being weakened. Sure, Android has made great strides over the years in beefing up its security, but it's the way Android is built that doesn't allow the same level of security that, let's say, Mac OS has. Now, Chrome has had that high security of Mac OS since its introduction, but now I fear it will be weakened by this combining of Android with it. Well, I guess time will tell. First it was ad blockers, and now it's VPNs that Google's YouTube is at war with. Hence the following headline from Gizmodo.com. Quote, YouTube seems to be cracking down on VPN-powered discount, unquote. Per the article, smarter people than I have been getting premium subscriptions to YouTube for a price that's about a quarter of what I pay monthly. How are these enterprising folks able to do this, you may ask?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, by using a virtual private network, better known as a VPN, while signing up for a premium subscription. Apparently, Google only charges around $3 per month for a premium subscription. If you happen to reside in countries such as Argentina, India, Turkey, Ukraine, and the Philippines.
What?
And that's a bargain for that low price. If you don't reside in one of those countries, well, you could fake it till you make it with a VPN using a server located within one of those countries. Unfortunately for these above average thinkers, Google has caught on to this method by detecting a VPN during sign-up and by not allowing one to sign up for a premium account until the VPN is disconnected. Along with that, Google has started canceling accounts identified as having falsified sign-up country information.
Aww.
Yeah, bummer. Perhaps if I weren't such an old fart, I would have figured out this workaround or maybe at least had heard about this method. That would have saved me some money over the years. As the article states, this is just the latest move from the Big G's efforts to squeeze more money out of the video site. Witness the crackdown on ad blockers from earlier in the year. Oh well, it was nice while it lasted for those VPN and ad blocker users. However, never underestimate the ability of humans to figure out a way to obtain something for free or at least at a reduced price. Another thing is that a lot of YouTube content creators are becoming angry at YouTube's ever-shifting censorship and monetization policies, which appear to be all in the favor of Google. Some are deleting their content from YouTube and moving it to other services like Rumble, for example. This movement to other services is but a trickle at the moment, but it could become a stream. Hey, see what I did there?
No.
And then I flood at some point. That's just my opinion. Another article from Engadget.com reports that the Biden administration will ban the sale of Kaspersky antivirus software in the United States starting in July and cannot provide service to current customers after September. Let me let you in on a little secret. All antivirus software are basically viruses. Yes, you heard me right. How do you think they work? They work by scanning your entire computer and building a database of file sizes and stuff. Then report this back to their headquarters. They also attach their own extensions to all of your computer files. These little extensions monitor said files in real time to detect changes that may fit the profile of a computer virus in the company's database. If they do find a profile, known or unknown, they report this back to the company. Here's another secret. Even if a virus isn't detected, the software reports back to headquarters anyway. In Kaspersky's case, some years ago, a certain idiot, one of many employed by the U.S. government, who worked for a contractor with the NSA, decided to bring his work home with him and proceeded to download all of the NSA's hacking tools to his personal laptop.
What?
Oh, no!
And guess what antivirus software this hero was running on that laptop? Well, you guessed it. Good old Kaspersky. The software did its duty and reported these hacking files as viruses and transmitted them to the home office. In this case, Kaspersky's headquarters in Moscow, Russia. Shortly after that, these top-secret hacking tools were released by a Russian-tied shadow brokers group. Coincidence? Well, I think not. Anyway, Kaspersky was banned from being used on U.S. federal agencies' computers in 2017. I used Kaspersky antivirus software on my Windows machines back in what I faintly recall as being the day. I like the UI and the modest price of the software, along with its reputation of finding viruses better than its competitors at the time. When I switched over to Mac OS, I started using virus scanners, which don't scan for viruses in real time and don't need to attach an extension to your files. As far as this current banning is concerned, I think this administration is doing this not because of security, but because of, you know, Russia, 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 penalizing Kaspersky because of its origin. Do you run any antivirus software on your machines? According to an article from TheVerge.com, Samsung has preemptively sued smart ring company Aura in order to block smart ring patent claims.
What?
Man, Aura can't catch a break here, can they? Now talk about a David versus Goliath scenario. Aura, which has pioneered the smart ring, holds many patents regarding the technology that goes into those smart rings. Some patents that other companies just can't get around, forcing them to pay licensing fees. I assume that Samsung doesn't want to pay these fees and figures their huge resources, well, at least in comparison to Aura's, will be enough to just wear down the much, much smaller company. Well, nobody ever said that conducting business has to be civil. Officially, Samsung points to Aura's past track record of suing competitors over patents and wants a, quote, declaratory judgment, unquote, that states the upcoming Galaxy Ring doesn't infringe on Aura's patents. You know what would be hilarious?
I don't know.
What if Apple bought Aura just before this lawsuit goes to trial? That would throw a monkey wrench into things now, wouldn't it? As usual, I'm rooting for the underdog. It's just in my nature. Tech I'm using. Compared to my soon-to-be former New York property, my new place's yard is minuscule. So when it came time to buy new lawn equipment, I decided to go all electric, opting for Walmart store brand named Hart, and that's spelled H-A-R-T. I purchased the smallest mower and the least expensive weed whacker and blower that Hart offers. My previous experience with electric-powered lawn tools, which were all of the corded variety, meaning they had to be plugged into the nearest electrical mains in order to operate, wasn't nice. In other words, a real pain in the butt to use. Besides that limitation, these corded tools just weren't as good as their gas-powered brethren. I expected only a slightly upgraded performance experience with the new battery-powered tools. Well, I can confidently tell you that times have changed. The mower's battery is rated for 30 minutes of runtime, which turned out to be more than enough for my very small lawn. When finished, I was down to the last bar of charge left. The performance of all the electric tools were equal to the old gas-powered lawn tools I've used in the past. The only drawback is the time using them is limited by the battery. But for my uses, there's plenty of battery juice to go around. Oh, on a sour note, if you would like to purchase a spare battery for these lawn tools, you can expect to pay more than half the cost of the tool itself.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's not a good thing. All in all, I was surprised at how good the performance of these new, quote, green, unquote, lawn tools are. Another advantage of these electric tools is they can be constructed out of plastic versus the metal of gas-powered models, making them lighter and easier to handle. Next trip, I decided to keep my MacBook Air down in Tennessee instead of hauling it back and forth to New York for Lord knows how long. Besides being an integral part of my so-called remote podcast setup, its 15-inch screen and good sound system makes it a great makeshift entertainment center. The living room television set will most likely be the last thing I purchase before the final move. I'm afraid if I bought and set up the new television, I wouldn't want to come back to New York in order to finish my business here. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of packing and stuff to do, not to mention the sale of our old home. If only I were wealthy enough to maintain two households. Maybe I can go back to work.
No.
Hey, never say never. In regards to work, most people who live in my new development work from home, and one of these days I'm going to find out what kind of work they do. Being that for the first time in my life, I will actually have a dedicated office space, maybe I can land one of those fancy work-from-home jobs. You know, I can always use some extra cash.
Yes.
I accidentally on purpose, if you get my drift,
yes,
left my headphones down in Tennessee, which gave me the excuse, I mean forced me to order a new pair from Amazon. While I've always been an Audio Technica guy, this time I ordered a pair of Sony MDR-7506 cans. Despite their reasonable price, well, at least compared to the Audio Technica ATH M40Xs that I left behind, they get good reviews. The only problem I've had with the Audio Technicas is the pleather wearing off the cushioning for the ear cups. The new Sonys are lighter than the Audio Technicas, and the cord is not detachable. The ear cups are much more comfortable and are a little larger than the headphones they're replacing. As far as sound goes, well, they sound good, but the proof in the pudding will be after I edit and mix the audio track of this episode. I'll update you next week. I've been on the hunt for a new weather app since the now-discontinued weather app, Dark Sky, which was purchased by Apple back in 2020, gave its last forecast New Year's Eve of 2022. If you've been listening to this show for a while, then you know that I love that app and have been missing it ever since. The precipitation prediction was uncanny, even downright scary in some instances. Though Apple claims it uses the same underpinnings of Dark Sky for its own weather app, it just isn't the same. So in response, I've downloaded both Forca and Carrot Weather to gauge if they are better than Apple's weather app while trying to recapture that old dark sky magic. I've found an answer, and it's nope. None of these apps can predict the precipitation like Dark Sky did. I get loads of notifications from all three of these apps warning of imminent precipitation, but 9 times out of 10, it doesn't pan out. You know, I really wish another weather app like Dark Sky would be created by somebody again. What weather app, if any, do you rely on?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Entertainment news. Well, I'm up to episode 4 of the Amazon Prime series, The Boys, and I am enjoying it. And that's despite the amped up virtue signaling this season and, in my opinion, the needless and boring gay love storyline. It really adds nothing to the plot, and it seems to me that it was shoehorned into the show in order to check a box for a BlackRock funding consideration. The show is also leaning hard on Christianity and patriotism, which to me shows the political leanings of the show's writers. Though increasingly hard, I try and ignore these overt attacks. And it's a shame because the premise of The Boys is great and really doesn't need these things. I'll continue watching the show until it fails to entertain me. Another show I'm enjoying at the moment is Paramount Plus's Mayor of Kingstown, which just kicked off its third season. The show is about a fixer in a town whose main industry is prisons. The writing and character development is top-notch, and though it suffers with drifting storylines, these are quickly killed off, and I do mean killed off when they prove to be unpopular. And this means that the showrunners actually listen to the audience. Jeremy Renner, who plays the main character, was involved in a snowplow accident in 2023 which almost killed him. He made a spectacular recovery, which doctors credit his fitness for, shortening the delay between season 2 and 3 of Mayor of Kingstown. This has become one of my most favorite shows, and I highly recommend it to you. And speaking of Jeremy Renner, I remember seeing him star in one of the installments of the Bourne series of movies titled The Bourne Legacy. I also remember not being impressed by it. I then recalled that I had watched The Bourne Legacy at a time when I still sort of enjoyed drinking beer on my days off from work. This was around 2012. Alcohol can taint my opinion of things, so I decided to rewatch The Bourne Legacy, sans the influence of alcoholic beverages. I found that I could stream the movie on the Peacock service, which I subscribed to, for no additional cost after watching a few commercials at the beginning of it. I must say I enjoyed it more the second time through. Was The Bourne Legacy as good as the first 3 of the 5 installments of the franchise? Well, no, but it certainly was better than 2016's Jason Bourne, which was the last Bourne movie. The action was great and the storyline wasn't bad. Sure, it could have been done better, but that was no fault of Mr. Renner. I also realized the vast amount of movies available to stream on Peacock, something I'll be doing more often. Who knows, I might even keep my subscription to Peacock. Podcast news. Well, according to podnews.net, iHeartRadio is the number one app for listening to podcasts within the United States.
What?
And that was according to both Podtrac and Triton podcast measuring services, beating out the old number one Sirius by 76% more downloads.
Wow.
Well, who knew? This podcast is on iHeart, but I never get downloads from that service in my show stats. Well, I guess I'll be paying more attention to iHeart in the future. I do have the iHeart listening app on my phone, but never use it, so I'll be checking it out next week. Have you ever used iHeart to listen to podcasts? Other than that, it was a quiet week for the podcast industry and world. Well, what did you think of the audio quality of last week's episode, number 222, titled From the Kitchen? Well, I thought it turned out better than I thought it would. Being that the only real furniture that's been delivered to my new house so far is a couch and love seat, there's not much to absorb that echo. The only suitable place to set up for recording was the combination sink and eating area island that resides in the middle of my new kitchen. Besides the reverb, I had a refrigerator that was constantly humming away, interspersed with periods of making ice. To add to that, my neighbor decided it was a great time to mow his lawn using a gas-powered, thus loud, mower. To negate the reverb effect, I used the old technique of eating the microphone, which is like it sounds, talking as close as I could get to it. Background noise was handled by my old analog DBX 286S channel strip, which, as always, did a good job. The only problem is that while I'm actually speaking into the mic, that background noise also comes through. I use the simple voice noise reduction that comes with my digital audio workstation in order to try and clean that noise up. It did a bit, but wasn't perfect. I also used the de-esser from the DBX unit, but upon listening back to the finished episode, I realized that the settings were a little bit aggressive, leaving me sounding like I had a speech impediment in some places within the recording. The old Motu M2 audio interface was rock solid as always, as was my MacBook Air. The Rode Procaster mic was okay, but after using it for the first time in a while, well, years in fact, it reminded me of why I replaced that mic in the first place. First with an Electro Voice RE320 and then an RE20. The Procaster mic just isn't a good match for my voice. I also tried using a couple of audio plugins from Apple to help improve the sound, but I'm inexperienced with Apple plugins and didn't get the most out of them. My recording setup took up most of the space on the dining side of the kitchen's island. From left to right, I had the DBX channel strip, the Motu M2, my iPad Pro for reading the show script, the microphone, and finally the MacBook. Being that I'll be traveling to and from New York and Tennessee for the foreseeable future, I realized that I needed to remedy this. I've decided to purchase a Lewitt Control 2 audio interface, which is the little brother to my Control 6 interface. The Lewitt will allow me to take the DBX out of the chain and allow for some more processing of the audio signal. I'm dusting off the old EV320 mic also. The next time I'm down in Tennessee, I should have a computer desk and chair to set up on. Speaking of which, the chair I used for recording the last episode was a lawn chair that sat very low, making it very uncomfortable while recording and editing. And I felt like a small child who made it to the big table. What did you think of the audio from the last episode? You can let me know, good or bad. Probably bad. The music is playing here in old New York, and the episode is reaching its conclusion. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. You know, it makes me happy that you're glad to see me back in New York, but I'm still tired from the long trip I had, and this old fart needs to get some rest. So, to allow me to do so, get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.